Well, well, well. Look who's back 1 week later. Looks like I'm gaining momentum, y'all. In this week's edition of Voices Here, I sit with my home girl and artistic comrade, Donna Crump. Donna has her own dance company, Good Dance, since 1984, that she's currently running and operating out of Houston, where she has relocated. But she is, in fact, a New Orleans native, and that is where I met her. She was actually my neighbor in a artistic think tank called Blue Plate Artist Loss that you'll hear a little bit about. So this episode actually takes place in Houston because my pa had booked a job, and during COVID, I wanted to make sure I traveled with him, make sure he stayed safe. So I also hit up Donna to see about hitting your girl with some choreo for an upcoming project. So we sat one day in her dance studio, and she gave me some wonderful choreography. And the next day we circled back and did an episode of the podcast. It's kind of hard to prepare a meal in a dance studio. So we did what we do best. We munched out over some junk food. In this episode, you will hear Donna mention some of her visions for the future. I'm going to confess, we actually taped this at the beginning of 2021, so I am proud to say that there have been quite a few amazing things that have transpired since we recorded this, one of which was Donna meeting up with her creative comrade and collaborator, Miss Kay Collymore. The two created an original show called Linear Function that premiered in September of this year to much success in Houston, as well as they both graced the cover of Southwest Contemporary Magazine. That's a dance magazine. So if you want to see both of these beautiful ladies, you can go ahead and scoop that Volume 3 Fall 2021 edition to learn more about Donna Crump and Kay Collymore. But for now, we're just going to vibe over a little Donna Crump. Enjoy. Today, I have a very special guest, good friend, creative comrade, as wonky and roly suitcase as they come. But like in the world of art, she is somebody who I think lives and breathes art and understands what it means for art to be a moving experience.
I just have an art baby. I did just have an art baby.
You totally did. She does it all the time, by the way. So y'all watching. You're going to see kind of like visual Tourette's. Because okay. People listening won't. I mean, you do like audio stuff too.
But the people watching,
you're going to be like, what's she doing? She's a dancer. She embodies movement. She does it a lot. All right. So we're going to just start this conversation. So Donna Crump, dancer, choreographer. Actress.
Artistic director.
Like, yeah, go ahead. You fire him off.
I mean, you've said it all. Dancer, choreographer, performer, actress, beautiful Piscean goddess. Cue the fish. anything movement, you name it, I do it. So
I'm here right now in the studio. But how do we know each other? What's our starting point for meeting?
I had just moved into Blue Plate, which is an artist loft.
Yeah, shout out Blue Plate. It's an artist loft that we were the inaugural round of artists to live in the space. My sister, Indigo, who I just mentioned earlier, her and her husband, Janeiro Jarrell, included Rock and Marianne. Yeah, there's a ton of people. The first wave was pretty awesome.
We were. And I would always see you walking outside, and I would just always think like, oh, you know, hey, what's up, girl? What's going on? But like, I don't feel like we ever like spoke. Maybe we spoke in like passing, like, you know, the normal New Orleans, like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah,
or something
really
like
and
that.
Truly,
I just got back.
No. I moved into Blue Plate. I want to say April. I want to say like end of April.
And then you
like
left,
that.
Or something.
And then I left to go on tour. So when you saw me, the month and a half before I left to go on tour, I was in like, I'm prepping for an international tour. I just moved into a spot. Girl, I moved into Blue Plate with like $12 in my bank account. Like, it was those days. So, yeah, you probably did. It probably was a hello.
type of thing. I think you saw Indigo and Jarrell more because they were on your side of the building.
Definitely, y'all both had dogs.
Like,
it's funny you say this is supposed to be happening in your kitchen or in your home, but we're here. We initially bonded over some food.
Yeah.
You remember what we ate?
If it was us, it was probably wings and like cinnamon rolls.
Okay. Okay.
Or pancakes. No, it couldn't have been pancakes yet.
It was fried Chinese rice.
Yeah, I was about to say it was like manchu.
Boneless
wings.
Chicken or something in the Pillsbury cinnamon rolls.
It was cinnamon rolls. Yep.
Yes, ma'am, all on one plate.
Yep. I do remember. So we met at Blue Plate, which was this artist think tank in the 2010s era.
2012.
Well, it was the, 11. I'm saying 2010,
yes,
2010 to the 2020s.
For sure.
In that time, you have gone from like solo dolo free agent ninja kind of vibe to like... mom two times over and
totally
possibly
have two
on
kids.
Your way to putting a ring on it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the
ring is totally on it.
No,
yeah,
I was
right.
not about to say.
Oh, I was about to say, can you just.
You look scared, girl. Yeah. You was like.
I was like, wait, can we cut that?
Yeah, no. Just, I'm just talking about the levels.
Y'all, please.
Right, the levels. So, I have all kinds of guests from all over. Let the audience know whether you are native to New Orleans, whether you were visiting New Orleans, if you had relocated or transplant.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I am a New Orleans native, born, raised, and stayed uptown New Orleans. I've been there all my life until moving to Texas in, when did I move in? 2017?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
2017, yeah. So
lived in other places, but it's always been like,
yeah, like
New Orleans
you
were
New Orleans home.
Oh, yeah.
Hometown is New Orleans.
Definitely.
What school did you go to in New Orleans?
Isn't that the golden question?
It's
like that's how you distinguish whether you're from New Orleans. And I'm like, what school did you go to?
Yeah, because like I know that having not grown up in New Orleans, like that definitely makes the difference.
Oh, totally.
Because I've been here, I'm here in New Orleans. I forget, I'm in Houston. But I've been out there 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hard question for me to answer when people ask, like, where are you from? It's like, well, because, you know, like, my people from New Orleans.
Right.
So it's like, well.
You should just, like, pick a high school, adopt it, and just roll with it.
Yeah, you have to let me know pointers on what high school you think I would have missed.
Right.
Because New Orleans is also small. So
definitely.
You didn't go to no.
And very, very possessive, very territorial. Yeah.
So I don't, you know.
Right.
I
went to McMaine.
Okay.
Shout out Mustangs.
Uh-huh. Were you there when Wayne was there or a little after?
I was there, I think, a year to 2 years after he was
gotcha.
There. Yeah. And also NOCA, the New Orleans Center for the Creative Arts.
Shout out NOCA. That's
for
where
dance.
My oldest goes, Nixionic Orita Ray.
Okay.
You happen to be his letter of recommendation.
Oh, hello,
shout out
darling.
Donna Crump again. For
shout that out.
Again.
Yeah, man, get them youth. Get them kids in school and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it's about. They're the future.
It's true. It's true. So you went to McMaine and NOCA.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for those of you who don't know, NOCA is the arts high school. So what did you major in?
Dance.
Okay.
Yes. So I would do McMaine half the day, all your academic classes, and then I would get on the bus, school bus. It would pick you up.
It
would take you to NOCA. Oh, it's a beautiful facility. And I talk to a lot of my colleagues now who went there,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, man. We really didn't know, like, back then to have that mindset. Like, we really didn't know what we had. We knew, like, oh, this is cool. Like, we got it. But, like, now looking back at that, like, man, like.
You were dancing in high school, clearly. Were you dancing before high school?
Yeah.
Well, how did you get into dance? And can you explain to the rest of the world New Orleans' relationship to dance culturally?
Hmm.
From your perspective. You don't have to be the, you know, finite.
So my beautiful queen mother, Debbie, shout out to Deb.
Shout out Debbie.
She put me in dance when I was 4. I mean,
she just saw like you were a performer.
I'm going to assume so. No.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, nobody in your family?
Nobody in my family is a performer.
Did she put Anna in dance?
You said, did she put Anna in dance? Yes, for a little bit.
Okay.
That wasn't her thing.
She
went to the left. She went to the left.
But she's a dope ass dancer.
Oh, yeah. A whole other way. Yeah, see? Yeah, so yeah, it comes back full circle. Yeah, that's wow. Totally. Yeah. So, no, nobody in my family was like a dancer. She put me in dance. I was 4. And, you know, you're a little girl, you do dance in school. Yeah. And, you know, you go and you learn your ballet and your little jazz and you shake your hips and you put your tutu on. And, you know, so it wasn't until I was 9 or 10, I started like training intensively.
Gotcha.
And I mean like 2 to 3 times a week, ballet 2 hours, at least 2 to 3 hours, those 2 to 3 times a week. And that's like on top of performances and auditions. That's
so
like
at that
extensive.
Age, were you looking at dance as a possible career or are you just
after I did my first Nutcracker performance. Uh-huh. On stage, because I did it with Ballet Hysel, which at the time they used to have the Nutcracker at the Sanger.
Oh,
the Sanger right?
Wow.
The Sanger Theater.
So you were a kid performing at the Sanger?
Exactly.
That's
yes,
awesome.
Ma'am. So after my first Nutcracker performance, I remember the Sugar Plum Fairy, the lead girl being mm-hmm. a black girl, and she was maybe 17 or 18, but she was a black girl. I'm like, oh wow! I'm like, I want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to be. And I just remember, like, after that first performance, I'm like, I want to be a dancer.
Hmm.
And it was
just Sugar Plum Fairy for starting the course of Diamond's life.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the real Sugar Plum Fairy is Debbie.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah, gotcha.
But, yeah, and then it just went on through, like, elementary school. I would do, you know, extracurricular because that was on the weekends or throughout school. And then as we started getting to, like, closer to high school, it was like, okay, you know, you have to audition to go to NOCA. So it was like, okay, you know, still going to ballet 2 to 3 times a week. So let's just go and audition. Once I got into NOCA, it was
over.
It was on. That's like for a child.
That was like the concentration. You got
Definitely. Yeah. For someone that young in the 9th grade, like first going to high school, like high school is a shock enough in itself, you know, and then like, it's like a miniature conservatory for high school students.
It really is.
I mean, you know, along with other teachers, it's just like discipline constantly.
Yeah.
I've always said this. I literally, from elementary school to high school to college to now my professional life, I've literally always had the best teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Like the best of the best of the best. Were we rich? Hell no.
Yeah, but you know.
Were we poor? I mean, my mom would be like, girl, we poor.
Yeah, yeah,
but you know, like, did we have money like that?
Yeah.
No, I remember ballet. Ballet is not, those dance lessons are not
girl,
cheap.
Do like, not play. So I danced all these years. And then when I got to be 16, I was like, I'm done. And my parents spent, you know.
Yeah.
We were talking about how expensive dancing is. My parents probably spent thousands.
Oh, for sure.
Dollars.
Easy.
And
easy.
If it wasn't thousands of dollars, it was like labor and time.
Oh God!
Like, you know how many? Because my
grandmother, God bless her soul, she was my personal chauffeur.
Yeah,
like from uptown New Orleans to downtown New Orleans, uptown, downtown, cross through. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
So, when Katrina hit, this is why I'm bringing up this story. When Katrina hit, when my parents moved back to New Orleans in 2002, they brought a bunch of stuff with them. Unbeknownst to me, my dad had brought all my dance trophies. Right. So he had the dance trophy stored in my granny's back house. Everything got destroyed, of course. Right. I crawled through the main house, got the things that I thought were important. When my parents got to New Orleans to check on stuff, this man crawled through the back house, unearthed these trophies.
He paid money for them trophies.
He brought them to my house. He's like, yeah, I got these out of granny's house. He's like, I don't know what you want me to do with that.
Well,
he was like, I don't think they got moldy because, you know, it's not like, you know, wood, you know. He's like, just.
I don't care what you do with them, but here they're yours.
Like, they're yours. I was like, damn, I don't want like, you. All the money I spent, you going to take these trophies. So I have these dance
Strangely stuff. Enough, I feel like my mom did the same thing to me. Like, you ain't going to throw these away.
Yeah,
take them to your own house.
The dance trophies he salvaged out of the back house. And when I say salvaged. For y'all who don't know, in this area of New Orleans, this area got 9 feet of water. So his stuff has set
in
water.
Yeah, yeah.
But he brought him to me. And he's like, nope, nope. You gonna keep this because I spent all this money. So he's very happy that I'm here this weekend working with you because my parents like to see that I use their investments at some point. So yeah,
invest.
So part of this weekend for me was coming out here and like just kind of creatively working because we're in this weird time pandemic wise where, you know, it's hard if you're a collaborative artist.
Yeah,
I strike.
Sure.
I fancy my people know me as a solo artist. But if you know me.
You're down to definitely.
Yeah, you know I'm just the collaborative person, right? So what has been your process?
I definitely would say within like the first maybe what?
I know, huh?
Like the first 4 months, like, wait, what
yeah,
is today?
Like what
time
is it?
Right. What warp are we in? Like the first 4 months, it was like, it's almost like creative depression.
Yeah. Were you rolling hard before that? Like, were you getting a lot churned out or had a lot of creative ideas before that?
I had a lot of creative ideas, uh-huh. More so that I was like in pre-production, like just trying to get ideas and storyboards and feel boards and, you know, I like uh-huh. touched up.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of stuff like that together. But it's like it was a cycle. So like the first cycle was just like, oh, okay, we just not doing nothing for
a little bit.
Okay, cool. And then the next cycle was just like, okay, wait, what is going on? I have to do a, what? You want me to teach a dance through a computer? Well, how? No, I just don't want to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, is it a cool thing? Well, of course. Yeah, now it's, I mean,
yeah.
it's what it is.
It,
right.
Yeah.
So it's either like you're going to stay right here, you're going to like run forward.
So where are you at with it now?
Because
I think everybody's had like this kind of settling period where it took us. Like I told you the other day, it took me like almost 2 months to kind of just catch up on rest.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Before
I'm still
the
in
pandemic,
that phase. I'm still there.
Well, you also have two young children.
I do.
And a husband because they wear
they
you
do.
Out
they
too.
Don't, they don't go to sleep. I mean, they sleep. Who
yeah.
am I talking to? Nobody's over here.
Nobody.
See, that's what.
But I do know that it took a minute for me. And even before the pandemic, I really wasn't in a position where I had the space, the mental real estate to think creatively because I was really doing
that.
The cafe
yeah.
grind, the family grind, the,
yeah.
you know, like I really think now when I try to map out my day, there's certain things that were part of the regular that it's hard for me now to figure out where it fits in because I feel like I don't have enough time in the day because I've prioritized me. You
right.
know, which and you know, I'm just now getting into like, I feel like I'm just now getting back into the creative zone. So
me too.
Part of me wanting to come out here was like, oh, okay, like I know D's hella isolated in Houston. I know. Just, I mean, from your New Orleans
right,
culture.
Right, for sure.
Your people.
And let's just be honest. I mean, isolated from, not necessarily from my creativity, but this like, I came here, I mean, I'm still like fairly new to this huge mega city. So
yeah.
I'm just like, I'm kind of like still carving out my space in like the dance community
gotcha.
Here, or like kind of like making my own space in
yeah.
the dance community.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, but definitely I'm now in a space of more like creative space, but now it's just like about making all the connections,
mm-hmm.
tying everything in and just like,
Bringing it
all together because, mm-hmm. I mean, the past year has just been like, join me.
I can't roll my, you're just. Yeah.
See? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's big sounds.
I like sounds.
Onomatopoeia.
I like sounds. I like onomatopoeia.
Me too.
So how did choreography come about? Because you could be a dancer, right? But not everybody has the vision.
Okay. So this is actually a very ironic story.
Okay.
So choreography for me, from what I felt, and apparently, and for what I knew, apparently I didn't know nothing. Nathan. I didn't know nothing, okay? Because I literally could not stand to choreograph. It
really?
Was, I don't like to use the
yeah,
word hate,
say,
but I was like, I hate choreography.
Well,
I don't want
to
do
gonna
it.
Say, like, you're not always the, I know you to sometimes get jammed up in making a decision, and choreography
is decisions
like,
all
it's
day.
It's a sequence of decisions, right?
See the irony. That is crazy.
It is. Like, so I, if you do it well too. So I'm just curious, like, where did that shift happen for
the
you?
The shift definitely happened my senior year.
Did you take a choreo class?
Senior year or junior year at Tulane. So I was, yeah, I had to take a dance making class, mm-hmm. like choreography. I had to take that maybe 2-3 years or something like that. And I would, you know, you get a prompt, you do the work, you know, whatever. And so it was at the end of like the year, they do these, you know, talks and, you know, oh, this is what you did wrong. This is what you did right this semester. You know, your closeout interview. And so one of my teachers was saying, he was like, your piece that you did for whatever I made it for, he's like, it was really, really great. He was like, I really think that you have a strong niche for like creating work and just creating work that people want to see. Hmm. And I'm like,
really?
I'm like, say a word. Right. I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, all right. He was like, and I really like to see where you would, you know, continue going with it. So from that point on, they said, we want to take your piece that I had just choreographed. You know, I'm just new to this, not true to it yet. We want to submit this to the American College Dance Festival. And so that piece that I choreographed, was, now I remember, which was actually a piece about me and my little sister.
Okay.
That was submitted to the College Dance Festival. And it performed, we performed it there.
At it.
And crazy enough, it got selected for the national gala to be performed again amongst in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
We ended up not going to D.C. to perform because I ended up in Africa somewhere and my partner ended up in Alaska or something. I was dancing there too, darling.
Must be nice.
Okay. So we had to turn that opportunity down.
You're like,
but
you're like D.C. or Africa.
Africa, right.
I'm going to Africa.
Right. Back to the motherland.
How was
you
that?
Know, fantastic.
Where were you in Africa?
I was in Africa in 2008.
Oh, my God.
Choreographing and creating work with Rhodes University, like
awesome.
For their National Arts Festival. So that moment in college from going to that dance festival sparked me choreographing, which then caught the eye of another professor who invited me to come. I was the only, me and another student were the only two students they invited to go to perform professionally
in Africa
and create work with this university.
And how did you get to Brazil? Because me and you have Brazil in common. Too.
We do. So Jogo, he was not still dancing with the company, but very, you know, heavily tied to the company. He was teaching at Tulane. And his first year teaching at Tulane was my first year attending Tulane.
Oh, gotcha.
So I was in his class. We kind of made that connection.
He was your teacher?
He was my freaking teacher.
That's so funny.
And the second semester, I'm like, he's like, hey, you know, you really have a lot of potential. You know, what are you doing for the summer? I'm like, well, you know, I like this company. You know, I'm trying to, what you think I ought to be doing for the summer? You know, can you hook me up? You know, New Orleans, got we hustlers all day.
Yeah.
Come on, give me
and
what you got.
And he busted out Brazil.
And he was like, hey, you know, would you want to study with the company or whatever? And I'm like,
yeah,
I'll take yes for $200, please.
So you took your butt out to Brazil.
And I ended up in Brazil.
For how long?
The first time was maybe, I think, 3 weeks.
Okay.
But this was 3 weeks of, like, 9 a.m. to 3 study.
I mean, we were partying too, but it was
the life of a professional dancer, like, there.
And so that was your first experience, like, professionally dancing, like, round the clock, this is what I'm
doing. Well, so I didn't perform with the company.
You just studied, though.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm more like
an apprentice. In terms of the training.
Mm-hmm. My first professional dance performance, I would say, was with John Allen.
Okay.
He gave me the opportunity. That's who invited me to Africa.
Yeah.
Okay,
word. We talked about you choreographing, but this eventually led to you starting your own company.
Oh, we digressed.
No,
yes.
We're moving down the rabbit holes.
We're getting down the hole.
So you start a company.
Yeah, I started a company because this was in 2012. I was working on something. I was just like, oh, there's a festival. They're looking for work. I had just
then
come.
That was the Baltimore gig, right? I feel like.
Boston.
Boston. I'm like, you went somewhere on the Eastern
Seaboard.
Yes,
it was Boston. I submitted a duet to a dance festival out there in Boston. It got accepted. I'm like, oh, this is dope. Like, okay, so like my work is getting accepted to these places. And so I'm like, well, I'm doing this. Like, let's make this like a thing. Like I don't need you, who's next?
Yeah.
Or you to tell me, no, you cannot be in my company. Yeah. I don't feel like, you know, I know you got to put in your work, your time and effort, but I don't want to be the cattle call, you know, 500 people for you to tell me no, or you don't like the way I pointed my foot. Like, yeah. I know what...
That's how I felt about acting.
Right. It's
it,
like,
right?
I know what I am. It's I know so what I'm funny. Capable of. I'm not on a high horse. I'm always open for more training
but
and stuff.
But I also think it's because you're not just a dancer.
I'm an artist.
It's a different. Yeah, you're an artist. You're a director. Yeah. You have a vision. Like, that's for me. Like, I'm a writer, you know, I'm a director. So you give me a script, I got my mind goes to a thousand places. Like, well, this could be written better.
And
I could
just,
and so as a kid, it was hard for me because one, there's no originality in the entertainment industry, right? You go on a cattle call, commercial audition, you in the middle of that room and you switch up how you deliver the line, everybody after you is about to do the same
thing.
And they don't care. Casting doesn't care who originally did it. They care who best fits the look. And then they will just be like, and do it just how she did it. So I was like, I'm not feeling this.
Yeah.
Like, this is a waste of my time.
Right.
And I respect actors, but it's like, this is
It just very rarely gives you the opportunity to be...
It's not empowering.
Right. It doesn't allow you to be expressive enough to be your true self.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to want to fit the mold of, oh, what is this? You know, and I guess, you know, don't be the pot calling the kettle. But when if I hold auditions or whatever, I'm not necessarily... When the times I have held auditions, everyone gets accepted. Not necessarily accepted, but if you show up to work with me, I know you have a passion and a purpose to want to dance and perform, and you're about to give me your all. So come on.
Yeah.
You didn't get in. No, you showed up to dance like you want to work. Let's work.
You never had nobody give you a crappy audition, huh?
Well, no, I didn't say that.
I was about to say, I'm like, because you can't be high. You can't hide nothing. So
no, I mean, you know, I'm not good at faking.
I'm like, because there's some people, it's like...
No, but at the end of the day, you still have
the determination.
You have to respect what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, if... Here's what. This is what.
I'm going to send somebody in as a foil.
Please do it.
Okay, she's holding open.
Please do it, because you know what? I'm about to make it do what it do. I'm from Uptown New Orleans, baby. We about to do it. Let me tell you why, though. Because as a director and as a choreographer...
Uh-huh.
Why would you then give someone something that does not look good on them?
Yeah.
Give them some. If you come in like, I don't know what to do, then I'm going to give you movement that look like that to enhance what you know how to do.
It's so funny because I remember when, this is maybe several years back, but you saw Yusef in his groove.
He's amazing.
He needs to be in the company.
Oh, man. You don't even understand what I would do with something like that.
Well, look, you can have it, and he's like 6 feet now doing
the same. Performance art.
Oh,
that's like my thing. I'm like...
But that's why I said when I hit you up about movement for this video and just movement in general, like, I'm down to have them do some of these movements with me, like teach them some stuff.
I've already seen what they get,
you know, what they come up with, like how they deliver it is
perfect. But you know why it's going to be perfect?
Why?
Because first of all, I know your children. I know you.
Yeah.
But the fact is, they're going to commit to what they're doing.
All day.
And it's about the commitment.
All day.
Like, you can't like, I think I'm going to... No, Yusef, can you be a ninja?
Yeah.
With some green lasers?
Yeah. They
please.
Will definitely
and he's
commit.
And he's going 200%.
They will definitely 200%. Commit. And especially if I explain to him, like, y'all, we got to do this dance to honor Granny. But, okay,
we're... Oh, for sure.
Show us. All right.
I just caught a real vision. Oh, gosh. Remind
it's
me to tell
down.
You the vision I just had
okay.
for your, one of your storyboards
okay.
for the whole thing.
Word. Where do you draw inspiration from?
Oh, I'm a Pisces. You're asking me this question.
Yeah. Where?
Oh,
Give me five... sources, not like, I don't need the names, but like, where do you go to for inspiration? Because every artist is different.
To be honest with you, it depends on the project, and honestly, it depends on the day.
Yeah, I was going to say also, I could reword the question, how does inspiration find you? Because sometimes it's not about actually going to it. Sometimes it just pops up. Like, if you're thinking about some of your, what you feel are some of your most creative works or your best representations of yourself as an artist, how did those ideas come about?
New Orleans.
And
it comes back to the NOLA.
Yeah.
I mean, I could sit here and say, oh, well, like this artist or this music or, you know, and then I really, like you said, it would have was one of my most powerful pieces or, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm like, well, yes, it it's the culture.
Yeah.
It's the culture of the city.
And when you say the culture, because I grew up in L.A., but I know New Orleans culture, right? Mm-hmm. Explain to people what New Orleans, like some aspects of New Orleans culture, because everybody don't get parades. Everybody don't, you know, like it's a whole other.
It's a whole,
world.
Yeah, it's a whole mood.
It's a whole mood. Like when I first moved to New Orleans, it shocked me that there was food everywhere I went. Like people,
oh gosh,
people, yeah. Like you don't throw a party and there's no, like LA, people call it a party and you show up and there's no food.
Rod flipped out. He was like, well, let's go get something to eat. I'm like, all right, cool. We're going to get this. He was like, where are we going? He was like, I thought I was going to get some food. I'm like, yo, we're here. He's like, we're at the gas station. I'm like,
oh yeah,
yo, come chill on. Out. No judgment. He's like, what you going in and get dinner from the gas station? I'm like,
and he,
yo,
he tore through all of
banging,
it.
Banging pole boys.
Ryan did the same thing when he came out to New Orleans. He was like, why does the gas station have the best chicken?
I'm like, why you going to the gas station to get the food? Like, yeah. He was like, we can't do that, man. I'm from, that's why it's not.
Yeah, nice. Hot plates and.
Yeah, all that jazz.
Yeah. What is dance to the city? Can you like give people an idea?
Yeah, so my good dance quote is dance starts with a feeling, ends with an action, and lives in the soul.
Hmm.
Donna Crump.
Nice.
So I wouldn't even say dance with New Orleans because it's about, it's that feeling.
It's a feeling.
It's a feeling. It's not, feeling I wouldn't even call like the what we're doing.
It's
in
dancing.
It's dancing. Of course it is. It's movement, but New Orleans is, it's dance, don't
it's
do that.
It's a fit.
Of course it is. It's
so
definitely
Africa.
A feel.
Like, if y'all do not know what Africa looks like moving through your body manifested, it is what goes down in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's the drums.
Yeah.
Which goes back to Africa.
Yeah,
definitely.
I also always enjoyed how New Orleans, like dance in New Orleans exists in every space. Like it's not limited to like, you got to go to this show and
no,
watch people
no,
on the stage.
No.
Like it's in the street.
It's in, it's the feel. It's the, it's gritty. It's grimy.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's,
like it's literally in the streets though. Like
yeah.
We have second lines and we have,
you're in the streets. You're, on
you're
cars.
In the streets. You're
yeah.
on cars. Like, it's, you know, and it's all in the spirit of celebration.
Right.
Like, it's not trouble unless somebody starts shooting. But it's usually not trouble, right?
Right.
It's usually not trouble. And so, for me as an artist, I think because I naturally tend to just experience life out of the box, it was wonderful for me to see dance in spaces where you don't get to see it all the time in L.A. or in New York. You know, when I was growing up in L.A., breakdancing was really huge. So.
Right.
You did see like people break dancing and stuff, but that was for a very specific period of time. So I enjoy what it is in relationships in New Orleans. What can we look forward to from you, if you know, and if not, that's okay too. Like, is there any plans for 2021? I know like we're still in pandemic.
We are in pandemia, but.
So how are you, have you have an idea of how you plan to create or what you want to be doing, what you want to focus on for 2021?
I actually am working on a project.
Okay.
I don't have all of the P's and Q's of it yet, but I definitely, a way for me to incorporate what's going on
in
the
world.
World.
Yeah.
And what's challenged me as an artist, I definitely want to include artists from different parts of the world.
Gotcha.
And I feel like that being in pandemia has showed us that, okay, this is really more accessible than we think.
Yeah, it is.
So I think that's a highlight of it. But yeah, just work trying to get my little project together so we can, you know, get some art flowing. And really just
ready.
this year is, for me as a director, I want to get more into film and putting out little snippets or little, not trailers, but little mini films or mini pieces or mini visuals of work versus like a proscenium dance performance.
Yeah.
Like I want to, my goal is to really like balls to the wall, create something immersive.
Okay.
Yeah. And streaming stuff. That's what I really want to like jump head first into that.
Into streaming.
Yeah.
I'm building these skill sets where, like I told you, I was like, I see where my people need the support and where it can happen. Like, I got you.
Thank you, man.
On the streaming all
much
day.
Much appreciated.
And the production of it. Yeah, I got you. We could really play. Yeah. So it's interesting. I typically just breeze through Houston, driving through Texas,
mm-hmm.
Or coming back from Cali, driving through Texas. Mm-hmm. But this is like the first time that I've been here for like a few days, and it's very clear to me that I will be making return trips, because it's ridiculous to me that you've been out here 3 years and I haven't. This is my first time coming to visit you. So
I have been forging my own space out here.
Yeah, I get it.
No, but I appreciate the visit.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been needed for sure.
Yeah, no problem. I'm looking forward to return visits and kind of like seeing what you're up to. You will probably be a return visitor to the podcast. This is the very beginning stages, so production value is at minimal, which sometimes for me, like, that's a good thing.
Yes.
I don't need to be going crazy. But as the podcast grows, it'll be cool to see what some of my friends are doing, where their growth is happening.
And your growth as well.
Yeah, they get to see
you
lot.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah,
they want something new.
This is more like, yeah, getting them exposed to other people. Because people always hit me up and ask me, like, well, how do you do this? Or how did you know how to do this? It's like, I just
did it.
Go out in the world and I do it. And I meet people and it's relationships, it's a network. It's, you know, it's all kind of like the show I threw in my house.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like literally these are the things that you need to be thinking about as an artist. If you're trying to like run your own grind, the show I threw in my house that really and truthfully, I threw it because I could charge a little money at the bar and I'd have some money to fly to Europe with, right? But I aligned it up for the day our building was having
the grand opening.
It's citywide grand opening. So there was press there. The building probably had like several hundred people circulating through it. And I had just moved into this apartment, no furniture in it. And we threw like a...
It was a dope
That's
house
when I met
party.
Christian, actually.
That is. Yep.
So I met Christian Scott that night. He was trickling through the halls visiting Donna, and I walked past him and like, yo, I'm about to be performing. And it's so funny. I don't know if you ever talked to him about this, but he was like, yo, it was crazy because like you like, walked up in like this dress, like I'm going to be performing. He's like, I'm thinking like, oh, she's about to like do some
jazz. I remember.
He thought I was like a jazz singer or something.
And what's crazy is that night after we left your apartment, we went back to my apartment and Rock comes down randomly with his guitar and his sticks and he just starts going and we have a whole freaking jam session.
It was like, a fun night. But I remember you and Christian sitting like to the right, like in front to the right, like right by like where my little table used to be.
This is a true story.
And I remember we got started because he kind of looked confused when he came into the place and he saw Pudge. He saw like the turntable. Uh-huh. So he was like, okay, like word. And he just sits there. And this is before I knew who Christian Scott was, which if you know me, doesn't matter. But I'm just saying it's funny in my head because I have no idea who's sitting right there. And him and Dee come in with a couple other people. Maybe.
No, it was just me and him.
It was just you two? Mm-hmm. Okay. And they were cutting up. I don't know if you remember.
Were we?
Y'all were having a good ass time. Y'all were giving me life because I swooped to like I did like a broad cross section of people. It's not necessarily people who like rock with your genre, right? And there's certain people who like.
I mean, Amy was there.
Yeah, it was
Karen's
Mary,
right?
Like, Stephanie.
Stop. Like, it was random.
Yeah, so it was super random. Like, the youngest person in the building was my nephew, Samuel. He was 2.
Sam,
and the oldest
Sam.
Person in the building was like 70,
sick, out,
right? And I'm just doing straight bars in, like, a dress, an unpaired dress.
Something.
But I remember
it was
Christian,
fly, though.
Christian was just like, what the fuck? Cause so for him, what he told me after, he was like, yo, that totally threw me off. He's like, I honestly thought like you were about to sing. He's like, not to like, you know, no offense,
no,
but I thought you were about to sing. He's like, and then you start going in. He's like, it reminded me of Brooklyn. And I was like, word. And that was like, so with the podcast, like that's the kind of vibe that I want. Like there needs to be more spaces like that. And I'm excited when...
And look at the spaces you create to then recreate the meetings of all of these great individuals and great artists and how they're full circle in the world, but then in the world of your life.
Yeah.
Like...
It's a small world.
It's totally small.
And the internet makes it even smaller.
That's out.
Yeah. But I definitely can say 2022, you can almost be certain that there will be a South American, Central American tour.
What?
So if that's a
well, if you need some,
back,
you need
yes,
some
ma'am.
Movements, you
yes,
know.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. So just putting that on your radar.
It's already on. Passport's ready to go.
Putting that on the radar. Because basically the content that we're creating, the stuff that we collaborate on, that is all priming the audience for what will be happening at the live show in some
respect, lovely form, or fashion. I love it.
So this year for me is really about like honoring and returning to some of my roots in dance.
Which you've done so beautifully.
Oh, I think. Girl, it's been so long.
I mean,
I was thinking about it. I was
even Rod was like, man, voice moved pretty good. I'm like, well, she did a little dancing in high school,
sir. I went to bed last night and I was like, I have not danced in so fucking long.
But think about how much it opened up for you. Think about
it's opening.
It's about to
it's really opening. It's what I needed. For me, it's been hard because.
I mean, like the energy wise.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's been hard because I find New Orleans to be a hard dance city for adult dancers. Now, I feel like there's a lot of programs for
you. You mean like for classes and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only really like,
Like when I first moved to New Orleans, I was desperate. And it was different then, too. It was like 2004, 2005. Mm-hmm. I was desperately looking for adult classes.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually like, you're actually saying a true statement because it's mostly like, ballet for adults.
And like, I'm not like interested in ballet.
Yeah, if you just want like dance fit or like or modern dance.
Yeah,
Modern you don't
dance,
really
there
have...
was really nothing. Like
yeah,
the first
nothing
10
really.
Years I was there, 20.
To
I
be honest with you, name one right now. You
I can't. Good dance.
Right, and I'm in Houston, right.
That's it. That's why when we met, I was like, word. And it wasn't like, oh, I dance. It was like, I dance and then I see, oh, she dance. Like,
right.
That's what I liked about Marita. It's like, I know she's cold. So it's like, okay, word. So when she referred you, I was like, she's probably cold.
When I did my first thing at Blue Plate, it wasn't the grand opening, but she danced in that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was for. Was it a fundraiser or just it was just a little show. I just did a show to say, hey, I'm here in the neighborhood. Like
promoting.
Yeah. That's dope. We definitely did live shows in Blue Plate.
Yes, we did. Because I definitely got a notice from management about a drums playing at 11:30 at night.
That's out of control. Just go to bed.
Yeah, it's just
we're
like,
artists.
It's
like,
an
stop.
Artist loft. It's on the name
we're
of
making,
the building.
We're making art.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It just, I think they would die to have that first group of artists back. We caught the wave and
waved on out.
All right. Well, that's about it. Like I told you, it's pretty harmless. It's literally just a conversation. Easy breezy. I will catch you next time I'm back in Houston for an episode of the podcast. Or when you come back to New Orleans, if there's anything, we can always do a home edition. Because typically,
it's in your house.
Oh, food,
yeah.
But, you know,
it's all good.
We're doing our thing.
I'm going to try to get back down there for a spring break.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
Like March. 15.
You rubbing that mic?
Oh, am I?
Probably. It's all right. I'm not going to have this on here. Let people know where to find you.
Oh, you can find me, what, like the address and stuff?
Online.
Like, oh, I'm
What's
like.
What's with you?
I don't know. I'm
at Good Dance. It's like, where your handle, Donna? Where online can the people find you?
Okay, online on Instagram. My handle is at Good Dance 1984. That's at Good Dance 1984 on Instagram, on Facebook.
Website?
What is my website? Oh, hi. Hello. Website is www.gooddancesince1984.com.